Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I think three is correct. Yeah.
Going with three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
There we go.
Took you a while to get there, but we got there.
Just wanted to be sure.
Okay.
Theater of the minds, Zach. Got to walk
there
through
there we
these.
Go. All right.
Nothing like getting criticized for a correct answer. There we
go. Oh, my goodness. A little trivia with Zach Cantrell, Lee Rabeau, and Diener on remote. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7. I am James Strebel. Anna Terullo will be along shortly. She texted James and I. What was it, like 1 o'clock, James? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, she's like, I'll be there at 3:20. I'm like, it's fine, Anna. You're good. You'll be here. Got a lot to do today on the show. Special guest, 5 p.m., Dr. John Wong, the Are We Right guy, will be here in studio with his brand new murder mystery novel, Name Image and Murder. So yes, we'll have a special guest appearance by Dr. Wong. He'll join us. Also, things on the table today: Rich Paul slanders John Calipari. We'll probably get to that sound here in the first segment while Anna continues to get here. She's on her way, obviously. Other things to discuss:
John Wong, NOLA Media, Just the Cats.
Yeah, Just the Cats. That's right, John Wong, Just the Cats. Maybe ask a few questions about Michael Bennett. Maybe we'll throw a couple of those in there as well. Power Conference standings over the last 2 games. Where do the Cats and the Cards fall? It's a basketball ranking there. EA Sports ranked all the most difficult stadiums to play in on their game, and people are pissed. Imagine that. Anna's smitten, James. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Anna's completely smitten. I saw that on Twitter yesterday. There's Reed and Rob betting props out there that if you all want to take advantage of those, the NBA draft is this week. You can look at that. And also Louisville quarterback breakdown, a little from Matt McGavick. I've been told here the past 3 seasons, it's a loaded room. And so we'll dive into that as you have another year where a transfer quarterback is starting, and your boy, Brady Allen, because there's so many damn Brady Brom, Brady Allen, and Pierce Clarkson are waiting their turn. They're just waiting their turn and more. But 437-968 is UPS Jobs text line. We're live here in the Liquor Barn Studios. I'm seeing people debate about J.J. Redick. What a sad day it is on the ESPN NBA Today, where the J.J. Redick, whose coaching experience is about like mine, some youth leagues, I believe, and he's now the head coach in, you know, arguably the most storied franchise in the NBA. Boston fans would take was that Austin Rivers? Where the hell they dig him up? Where did Austin Rivers come from? He's on TV. I remember, gosh, James, I know you remember this, when he played at Duke. At the same time that I believe, the same year Anthony Davis Davis was at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And you would have thought that Austin Rivers was going to be the greatest basketball player to ever play the game, and the dude was mid as hell. I mean, he was fine. He went to the NBA and bounced around. I guess, I don't know if he's still in the NBA. He's just doing NBA Today.
Yeah, he's not in the NBA, and he only bounced around because Doc Rivers was
Because Doc
dad.
Rivers is dad. Yes, you're exactly right. One of the most overhyped players in recent memory, and of course he went to Duke. So, yeah, there we go.
Of course, I think he's been on for a while. You're just normally in school during this time.
That is true. I used to watch it. It used to be on Andy's TV every afternoon when I'd waltz in. But I mean, that must have been before Austin Rivers joined the show. So yeah, it shows you how much NBA Today I've been watching. But before we get to this Rich Paul sound, I mean, something happened today that
clutch, whatever the heck it is.
Hutch clutch. That's right, Dan Issel. Anytime we can sprinkle in some Dan Issel sound. Oh, yeah, the texter just he tweeted in or texted in the screenshot here. Brooklyn Basketball Academy 2023-2024 volunteer fourth grade boys head coach. So actually I have more coaching experience than JJ Redick, not at a basketball level, but just overall I have more coaching experience for JJ Redick, and he's the man to lead the Lakers, or more like the man that LeBron James can tell what to do and push around, and he'll just be, you know, he'll be meek and mild. But anyway, so today something happened. It says Mark Pope held a press conference today for the UK media, and I've seen some snippets, and John Wong was there, so I'm sure he'll be able to regale us with some stories and some of what Mark Pope said. But it was, James, there's shameless things that our media brethren do around these parts. I mean, Louisville and Kentucky media people are some of the most easily satisfied and easy to groom in regards to being a fan slash reporter of the program. Today just exemplified that, and here's what happened. So Mark Pope decided to bring cookies. Cookies. He brought cookies. yeah. He brought cookies to the press conference.
Those cookies had better be damn good, is all I know.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yes. They look like Kroger cookies. And no slander to Kroger cookies. They're very good. I've had my fair share of Kroger cookies, so I'm not trying to mean Kroger here.
Yeah, that's not my sponsor. Shout out Kroger.
Yeah, shout out to Kroger. Get some Kroger cookies on your click list next time you're in there. Again, I'm not trying to slander Kroger. They have very good cookies, but these aren't like, you know, they didn't look homemade. I don't think they're like gourmet cookies, but you would have thought that Mark Pope gave every member of the media $5,000. The pictures, the slobbering. Oh, he brought cookies! He brought cookies for the media! Oh, my God! There's cookies on the table!
Calipari never brought cookies.
Calipari would never do this! This is why Mark Pope is the guy. He gets us. He treats the media like we're kings. We should always be treated like this. John Calipari, we'd be lucky if he even answered the question correctly. So you have the gushing and the fawning over media. Even someone as crotchety as Ben Roberts can be sometimes, he was tweeting about the cookies. You knew Kyle Tucker would. Even one of my guests today, John Wong, was tweeting about the cookies. I mean, he's reinventing the wheel, James. This is what he's doing. Oh, he's now opening so many doors. He meets players at the airport. He brings cookies. He flies coach.
He raps. I can't wait for him to bring cookies after losing to Vanderbilt by two on the road.
Exactly. Yeah, let's see if the media are thrilled. They will be. That's the thing. It's like, well, right, they lost to Vandy and whoever the hell their coach is now. I don't even know who it is. It's not Stackhouse, so who cares?
Chris Mack. Oh, wait.
No, Chris Mack.
They turned him down.
Yeah, they turned him down. Vanderbilt basketball turned down Chris Mack, but according to some Louisville fans, he was just mistreated by Neely Bindapudi. He was actually the greatest coach ever, but Neely Bindapudi wrecked his career. It wasn't the FBI or anything like that. It was Neely Bindapudi. It was her fault that he recorded Dino Gaudio in a terrible firing. But that's another topic. That's a rerun for me. So it is what it is. But I mean, it is just, it was so funny to see just the simplest act of bringing cookies. I mean, you know how people act around here, James. You bring cookies or donuts or cupcakes. All these dudes and ladies around here, they swarm the break room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's never any Canes left. There's never any Chick-fil-A left. I'll be lucky if there's a slice or two of Birno's on Friday. It's all gone. It's all gone.
And there's never been matzo pie cookies left, apparently.
No, never. I believe you about the matzo pie cookies, but the only reason I believe you even more is because someone on Twitter shared it with me.
Okay,
gotcha. Pictures of them leaving matzo pie with a tray of cookies. So I was like, okay, I guess they do exist. Yeah, I don't know who's eating all those cookies. Is it Tanner? Is that who it is?
No, I'll be honest. It's all of us.
All of you. Okay.
They're that good.
Even Blank?
Yes, Blank. He almost got two last time.
Whoa! He almost got two?
Blank's got the hookup on the cookies, so he keeps a few for him and brings some in for the station.
He's the one that matzo pie is his account. Right, he's the one that goes and picks it up. You better believe he's stashing some cookies. I would be, too.
Yeah.
It's like, Blank, I thought we got a dozen cookies. Why is there only eight?
Yeah, I grabbed three a couple months ago, but I can only eat one. I mean, is that rich, that heavy?
Yeah, you gotta see those rich, heavy cookies. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. All right, so... Again, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. So one of the lead stories today, we all remember, Andy and I talked about this so much ad nauseum about Chris Livingston in a variety of ways. You know, his highly touted high school career where he was, you know, viewed as one of the top 10, 15 players in the country. At one point, he was number one early in the recruiting process. So, you know, fans obviously excited for him. You know, he kind of looked like that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist type player that Kentucky had been missing for such a long time, really ever since MKG. So, you know, Chris Livingston was when he came to Kentucky, he had the highest of expectations, and especially since that recruiting class was so small, he and Kaysom Wallace were really the two main highlights, the two five stars in that class. And, you know, he gets to Kentucky, you know, early on, doesn't look ready, does look like a bit of a fish out of water, and there had been whispers about his motor and his drive, and, you know, if we could get that out of him, he could be a great player. Had a little stretch during SEC play where he looked pretty damn good, but other than that, his career was very nondescript at Kentucky, and it wasn't for lack of trying. I believe he started every single game that season. Obviously, the big debate was whether or not he should be playing the three spot or the four. Calipari, you know how he liked to do it. Had Chris Livingston.
Chris is one of the most driven, caring, smart kids. I absolutely love him.
See there we go. Yes, yeah, that was me, and I was fanboying over Livingston. I remember talking. I believe I told Andy that he was going to be a stud or something like that. I really was putting on for Chris Livingston early on in his career, or before he really showed up to Kentucky. But you know,
there's Anna in front of the studio.
There's Anna. Oh, Anna's here. She has arrived. Look at, oh good, we haven't played the Chris Livingston sound yet, so she can hear the Rich Paul stuff. But I'll continue. So he was at Kentucky. Obviously, the argument amongst fans, they had him playing the three. He should be playing the four. This, that, and the other. I mean, his stats were very, you know, underwhelming. I mean, they were whatever. So there she is, Anna Trullo. His career stats at Kentucky. He averaged 6.3 points per game. He played in all 34 games. He averaged 26 minutes per game. So, and again, he started like every single game, but yeah, 6.3 points. His field goal percentage wasn't that great, 79%. And then let's see here, we're about rebounds. I don't know. I'm getting this off the Kentucky website. It's not very user friendly. But Chris Livingston was, you know, he underperformed. Okay. And then after the season, there was talk of, you know, Chris Livingston should come back to Kentucky. Chris Livingston should come back. He has a lot of room to grow. If he comes back one more year, hones his skills, kind of polishes his game, he'll be really, really good as a sophomore. And then you had the fallout between John Calipari, Rich Paul, and Clutch, where Clutch and Livingston were kind of going back and forth with John Calipari. And then we all remember draft night where Cal was there for Kaysom Wallace and was like, oh, I forgot Chris Livingston was there, and it was a weird, awkward tweet about Chris Livingston. So Rich Paul... Anna, hello, Anna. How are
you? Hello, I'm doing good.
Good, very good. You're earlier than you anticipated.
Even earlier, there were wrecks and stuff.
Oh,
I was running and gunning though.
Yeah, but you're here. You're ready to get your Stanley Cup ready to go.
That's right.
That's right. Filled with water and good stuff. Yeah. There's focuses in the back.
Oh,
Benny
heck
Good
yeah.
Times showed up, and there's also some prebiotic soda back there.
Okay,
it's actually
let's
pretty
get
good. Yeah, I
Is
had
it pretty
one.
Good.
It was
pretty tasty.
Yeah,
no tickets this time, right, Anna?
No tickets this time.
Okay, good. Good.
I've been real good on the. On
good.
The expressways, interstates, they using that cruise control, so we escaped without encountering the law. But you know,
good, no law
job.
Enforcement today.
Not today.
No, the texter and got pulled over again. Like, no, she didn't.
Nope, not this time.
She did
thanks
not.
Thanks for caring.
Texter says your Lord Cal started him over Antonio Reeves. Yes, he did. And you know, this goes to a lot of things. We talk about obviously a lot about Reed Shepherd, Rob Dillingham yesterday. So Rich Paul goes on. Have you heard this sound yet?
Half of it. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I know the gist of it.
Okay, so he basically goes and blames everything on Calipari in regards to Chris Livingston about his fall in the draft, about how he played at Kentucky, and just takes a flamethrower. And this all comes after, too. We had heard that Cal and Paul... quote, made up. Like, they're good again. Because he had a number of clutch players. I mean, Aaron Bradshaw was
remember
clutch.
Remember that drama?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think there was more to it that I doubt we'll ever know, but just the fact that they were trying to make him maybe not play at all.
Exactly.
I think that was some deep beef going on there.
No, absolutely. And that was a storyline. You know, Aaron Bradshaw breaks his foot at the McDonald's All-American game, or is it that or the Jordan Brand Classic? One of the two.
Yeah.
He breaks his foot, and it was like, well, we won't see him ever play for Kentucky, which we did.
Yeah.
He had some highlight moments. We'll see Aaron Bradshaw again here in December. We'll talk about that later. But here's Rich Paul, CEO of Clutch, discussing John Calipari and Chris Livingston.
Like last year with a guy like Chris Livingston. He was 12 going into Kentucky when he went there. When he left there, you know, like they're talking about he could barely be a pro. How? He's 6'7", you know, athletic. Long, like, great kid. How is that possible? And who's taking responsibility for that? Because that's the thing. Someone has to be held accountable. Because I would think if I was coaching a young man or a young woman, and you come, when you come in here, my job is you either leaving here, just as good as you did when you came in. Or better. There's no way you're leaving here worse because I'm taking the responsibility. If I'm to the level and being, you know, you're saying that I'm this coach.
Okay, so basically he's saying John Calipari ruined Chris Livingston.
And okay, I understand a lot of what he's saying, but to say you're going to leave here better, you cannot guarantee that. There's so many other factors at play.
Right.
Those preseason rankings aren't perfect, how you rank recruits and all of that. So interesting, but I'm of the school of thought you can't necessarily blame Cal for that, just like you can't give him the credit of recruiting all these guys who are going to go to the NBA anyway.
Sure.
You can't say he developed them and put them in the league because he didn't. They would have done that
Anthony Davis is going to be Anthony Davis no matter
right,
who he plays
just
for.
Just by body type, whatever, by so many other factors. So I don't agree with that, but man, those are some strong comments. And
oh, yeah.
I just think... He had me until he said, no matter who I coach, no matter who, they're going to leave here better or the same. You can't guarantee that.
You can't.
You don't know what you're getting and what you... It's an adjustment. But then, Rich Paul, you signed him knowing everything about him.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You got to take some responsibility for that, too. You can't... I just think he's trying to pass the buck on that and say, oh, it was Cal's fault that he fell, whatever. But that drama at the draft last year, too, was so un-Calipari-like. To not be with the kid, taking pictures and stuff, and then act like he didn't remember he was there. That
it was weird.
Sketchy.
Well, and here's what Chris Livingston did for the Bucks this season. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Because he should be good, right? 6'7", athletic, all those things that Rich Paul was saying about him. He averaged 2.2 points per game.
Wow.
He played in a total of 21 games. that's not a lot. This is the NBA.
It's like one third.
I'm sorry,
of the
not
season.
2.2 points. 1.2 point
wow.
per game.
That's
1.2 point per game. One rebound. 0.2 assists. Okay, his last game with the Bucks, he played 3 minutes, scored 2 points, had a plus minus of minus two, no rebounds, no free throws, no three-pointers, no blocks, no steals, no turnovers. So, I mean, it, again, if he's as great and athletic, I mean, did the NBA not develop him well?
Right.
Did they not develop him enough to play
who's
this
holding
season?
Him back
for the, who's holding him back? What's the excuse now, Rich Paul? I mean, he's got this dude's a bust. I mean, it was a shock that he got drafted in the first place.
Well, and then wasn't there that weird scenario where Rich Paul was saying like, "Oh, we just made this huge deal with Livingston. The reason that teams are holding out on him is because like I did that on purpose. So
yes.
The Bucks would take
it was
him
a
and
weird
get more
thing.
Money.
Exactly." It was a weird thing. Like he had already made the deal with the Bucks, essentially.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like nobody draft Chris Livingston because we already have a deal.
Yeah.
We already have it, and he was like the last pick.
Yeah.
It was the last pick, and it was the Bucks. It was like what?
He wanted to play it off as some big business decision, but I think he was saving face for if the kid went. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Didn't get selected, but also I've never seen that happen any other time before. So I don't think it was some move where you outsmarted everyone, Rich Paul. I think you were saving face because you knew
100%
what you had on your hands here with this kid.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't go sooner. Like the whole world isn't not developing your player. Okay?
Right. Right.
Chris Livingston, I think he does have all the physical like makings of a pro.
He does.
I think he could eventually maybe develop some more, but I'm not trying to hate on the kid or anything.
I'm not either. This is what sucks is, you know,
clutch.
What sucks is like we had to talk about it like this because of Rich Paul. I mean, Rich Paul decided to go on this show or podcast, whatever it was on there. So we're showing it on ESPN before you walked in. You okay, James?
Yeah, finish your thought.
Okay. But no, I mean, I don't know why he's doing this, why he feels the need to, like, what's he got cooking this NBA draft?
Exactly.
I was going to say Rich Paul is from Akron. I think Livingston's from Akron. I think they're, like, boys or real cool.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, you're probably right.
He's not going to bat for anyone else.
No, not like this. Like, there has to be some family connection or friendship or something.
Cat like that who still is, you know, a manufacturer of NBA talent. It's NBA factory, wherever he is. I mean,
I'm sure there's coach players on his team right now.
Relationship. When you're an agent, is an interesting choice. I wonder, do we know like the genesis of this beef between them?
I think it was Chris Livingston. I think it was Chris Livingston, and he was pissed that, you know, like he said in the clip, he was projected to be a lottery pick. They had him like the 12th pick in the NBA lottery before the season started, and then you have to scurry at the very end of the draft and make a deal so he so he gets picked. And I think that's the genesis of it.
This is also the thing. If you're a good enough player, people are going to select you. Look at the two who are projected the top UK picks or top picks coming out of UK this year. Didn't start. You think Cal could have done any more to hold them back?
Right.
I don't know. He did his fair share.
He did enough.
By not starting him, right?
Right.
So I think the talent is there. People will see it. There's a whole industry that's being paid to just, you know, assess and analyze this talent. If you're good enough, you're good enough.
I think it makes Rich Paul look worse than Cal.
Petty.
I think it makes him look a lot worse than Cal because he's putting on for this player that, unless something dramatic happens, is going to have a cup of coffee in the NBA and he'll be in Europe or Israel or China or someplace like that. Like he won't be in the NBA very much longer unless he has some dramatic jump.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there and tell me that he's so bad in the NBA right now because of what happened in Kentucky,
Cal
and he's
put
there
a spell
for
on him, and he can't jump anymore.
Yeah, he was there for 6 months, however long it was. Yeah. I don't know.
We have eyes, dude.
Yeah,
like, we can also read stats.
And it brings me back to what does he have cooking in this draft? And Calipari. Like he has clutch players on Arkansas.
I know.
Like I believe DJ Wagner's clutch.
That's what's so strange.
And it's like he still has dealings with clutch, and I wonder if this turns and it won't because the coaches are going to want the talent.
Uh-huh.
And if Chris Paul has the talent in his agency, they're going to have to work with them because you're not just going to pass on. You know, let's say Cooper. I don't know what Cooper Flagg's agency is, but like if Cooper Flagg was clutch, like no one's going to say no to Cooper Flagg.
Right.
Like it's going to be. And the other thing to say is like your first point, you don't know how these players are going to pan out in the end. Remember Marcus Bolden?
Yeah.
And he was at Duke for like 4 years. Right. He's supposed to be one and done, the number one center in the country, a top five pick. And when he was, when he selected Duke, it was a big deal. And Kentucky fans were like, oh, no, because that was the year Kevin Knox showed up and Nick Richards. And that was that year. And oh, no, Duke's going to get another good. And he wasn't any good.
Didn't deliver.
He didn't deliver. So is that Coach K's fault? Are we going to blame Coach? I'm not trying to pick on Coach K and like that.
think I am.
Yeah,
really.
I know you are. Yeah. But there's been so many players like Bronny James. Like, you know, is it Andy Enfield's fault that Bronny James wasn't good? Was it you know, his fault that, oh God, who is that point guard they had this year? It's like the number, he was a projected to be the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
And he was the number one player in the country, and he'll go lottery, but he's not gonna be number one.
Yeah,
is it Andy Enfield's fault?
Right.
It's as much as we drag and bash on Cal, and some of it's warranted, some of it's not. Mm-hmm. This to me was completely unwarranted. It's just Rich Paul's axe to grind.
Yeah, and it just makes him look bad, because at the end of the day, you are also paid to analyze and assess and represent talent that you think is the best, and maybe you whiffed and you missed on this one. You are paid to do that.
Yes,
and you should know, you've been around it long enough that those, you know, like those rankings going into college, there's a lot of margin for error on them. They're not set in stone. You see it almost every year with somebody.
Right.
Come on. This isn't like an anomaly or like an outlier.
It happens every season.
Work in this. You should know that, Rich Paul. You're just making yourself look bad.
Now, one of Rich Paul's players will be playing against Kentucky. CBS Sports Classic. Kentucky will this season be playing Ohio State December 21st. Yeah, 5:30 p.m. That'll be on CBS. But yeah, so we'll get a revisit with Aaron Bradshaw.
I hope he does well there.
Yeah, I liked Aaron Bradshaw. Yeah. There was nothing about him, or he was always very, you know, gracious and didn't slander Kentucky or anybody out the door. You know, he was set back because of injury. I mean, his body type, he wasn't physical enough college basketball.
I was going to say, with the injury.
And he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? He did the anti-Chris Livingston thing.
Right.
Like, if he would have done the Chris Livingston path, he would be in the NBA draft. Everyone would be going, why the hell are you in the draft right now?
I would agree with that.
Like, yeah.
Because same thing with him. Definitely one of the most overrated of that class.
Sure.
Made at Kentucky for sure. So, hey, and you said maybe DJ Wagner is a clutch guy as well.
I'm pretty sure he is, yeah.
Guys being a bit overrated.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's not the coaches these teams are going. Maybe it's your hype machine.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's the Rich Paul.
I think I do too.
The Rich Paul clutch hype machine is more hype than substance.
Yeah.
Maybe by overhyping these players and feeding information, being like, oh yeah, they're being overranked just because of their association with the clutch organization.
Yeah.
And it's kind of backfiring. So he's got to protect his business, protect his name,
protect
the brand, protect the clients. And this is his way to do it. And there's no easier target in college basketball than John Calipari.
True.
I mean, it is. I mean, one of the biggest criticisms of Cal, especially the latter tenure of his time at Kentucky, mismanagement of players, mismanagement of positions, mismanagement of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they said, Chris Livingston started over Antonio Reeves last season.
Yeah.
There is no way he should have been starting over Antonio Reeves. From what we saw, Antonio Reeves, especially late last season and the entire season this season, and you think, what the hell? How was that guy on the bench? Well, because he had to play Chris Livingston.
Always has to play the clutch players.
Got to play the clutch players,
yeah. That's interesting. It makes me scratch my head, the fact that Antonio Reeves would even want to come back. Could you imagine sitting there?
Well, he tried not to come back.
Yeah, I know.
Right? He tried. He's like,
I wonder what he was thinking.
You're gonna play this dude over me? Like, I can score. This dude can't score. He can't shoot. He can't drive. He's a pretty good rebounder. He's not even good at putbacks. And I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm your best shooter on the team.
Dude.
So that's why he's like, okay, get me out of here.
That must have been so hard to come back.
He didn't have a choice.
He had to.
He didn't have enough credits to do a grad transfer.
Because he was trying to go to Illinois, right?
Oh, he went back to North, because he was from Northern Illinois. He went back to Northern Illinois to try to get some coursework done,
right,
and then realized, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Like, I can't transfer. There's nothing I can do. And you know, good for Kentucky. Well, kind of. They still did lose to Oakland. Not his fault. Antonio Reeves was fantastic that game. I mean, the only reason they were in that game was because of him. And I already forgot the center's name. Trey Mitchell. They were the two oldest players on the team. But the only reason
did not develop, even though people would want to try to give him credit for Antonio Reeves. That's in the same vein as this for me.
Yeah,
absolutely. Doesn't get credit for that either.
No, he doesn't. Antonio Reeves came back on, you know, man on a mission and did the damn thing. He was an All-American, and you know, he could be drafted in the NBA in the second round, but the thought of Antonio Reeves being drafted at all was silly.
And then a few months ago, weren't we even talking about people, maybe him being right outside the lottery and stuff? Like, the scope of how I can't even pay attention to it until we get a little bit closer to the draft. draft. I mean, like at, right now would be a good time to pay attention to it. But just because it changes so much the spectrum of what people thought he would go.
Right.
We'll see where
his
he ends
age
up.
Is hurting him. If he had that season last season, he was a freshman or a sophomore. He'd be a first round lock.
Yes, absolutely.
He'd be a first round lock.
He would have been a player of the year conversation.
Yeah, but since it was his fifth year, that hurts him. Which you know, that's the NBA standard. That's what they do. They'd rather draft projections and youth more than numbers and age, which I kind of get. But at the same time, you're like, what are we doing? The guy, I mean, he can shoot. I mean,
Just go away.
Yeah, it doesn't just go away. Like shooting is at a premium right now in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I've told this story before, but my dad, who didn't watch NBA hardly at all when I was growing up, watched some of the NBA playoffs and called me and was like, he's like, these guys don't miss. He's like, this is fun. He's like, it's high. Yeah.
Let's go.
He's like, it's high octane. Uh-huh. It's up and down. It's scoring. And so, like, if you can shoot, you can find a place in the NBA.
Everyone
you have
needs
a spot.
A shooter. Yeah.
Everybody needs a shooter. Mm-hmm. Well, let's bang out some text and we'll take our first break. Texter, Antonio Reeves almost not coming back. Should have been a nice little story we tell when we remember how special this season was, but hell no, we lost to Oakland. Yeah, that's a great point.
Thank
you. That would have been a fun story. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, he almost didn't come back. Look how he came back and look how we ended up in the Final Four. And no, we lost to Oakland and Jack Golke.
Oh, no.
Texter, it's Illinois State. Sorry. Sorry,
yeah,
Texter.
Illinois State.
The Redbirds. My apologies. Texas, the biggest part of all, not Texas, Texters. The biggest part of the all UK players are bust. Some survive, some don't. NBA think they got to draft all Cal players. He has something on them. Look, more Kentucky players make it in the NBA than not.
Yeah.
I mean, you just look at the...
A lot of them do better once they get there.
Yeah, look at the... all. Yeah, most of them do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Devin Booker. I mean, we go down the list of players that didn't play too much at Kentucky that go... I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, people were pissed off he didn't get MVP this year. So don't act like that Kentucky's go to the NBA and are bust. Stop that. That's silly. Come on. Texter, I was listening to Nick and Jeff earlier talk about the Rich Paul clip, and the first thing I said to myself was... Hutch Clutch. Thank you, James, for playing the Issel soundbite. I'm now entertained. Texture, does Cal get blamed for Reed Sheppard being drafted top five after being number 30 in the high school ranking?
No.
Exactly.
Never.
Texture, I hate that Tennessee won the World Series. I think I hate Tennessee more than Louisville. Yeah, okay. That made me sick. I don't like A&M either. I watched that game last night.
Yeah.
I watched almost the entire thing. I was kind of passively watching as, you know, doing some stuff around the house.
Uh-huh.
Then I sat down and watched the sixth to the final inning.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a really good game.
Right.
I mean, Tennessee was up all the majority of the game, and Texas came back from like a 6-1 deficit and lost 6-5.
Uh-huh.
So it was a good game. But I just watched all these Tennessee dudes and all the Tennessee fans in attendance.
Morgan Wallen, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I don't hate Tennessee baseball. I know a few people who've like worked on their staff and stuff, so I feel like I know them a little bit. So it's hard to hate them.
Yeah.
Also, they have cool uniforms. You have to admit those are some cool.
Those are cool. But
those black uniforms are so cool.
Yeah, that orange though.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, that orange.
I feel like their baseball uniforms are always pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I don't hate them as much as the other sports. I don't know why.
Basketball and football.
I guess because UK doesn't
really
have a dog in the fight about baseball.
We normally don't have a dog
so like
in the fight.
They're normally not talking smack to us. So it's like, it doesn't even feel like I'm involved in that.
Exactly. No, you're right. It was a new thing for us to be like hanging attention to it and be like, oh wow, this is cool, this is kind of fun.
Yes.
But yeah, basketball and football, I'm more basketball than football. I hate them in basketball.
They have some
of the worst. I mean, Admiral Schofield and who was the other guy, Grant Williams. I hated them. I still hate them. They were there for 500 years.
Leave us alone
and just go away, get your flop in and get your asses out of here.
Cease and desist.
Yeah, I mean, Admiral Schofield, please.
What a name.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's take a break. On the other end, EA Sports pissed everybody off. We'll talk about that. And actually, we'll have a good perspective on this because she's been to most of these stadiums, I think, at least especially in the SEC. The Hard Knocks is dead. It's dead. It's stupid. It's gone.
I thought you were like the whole like AFC North or something.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
that's why.
It's no. It's
why don't just change it?
Because it's
just
an NFL propaganda show now.
It's all it is.
It's an NFL propaganda show. It's lost all the edge that
it's
used
lost
to have.
The aura.
Yeah, I can't stand it. All right. If you have low testosterone, how do you know if you have low testosterone? Well, if you're in early to mid 30s, into your 40s or 50s. and you have a decrease in libido, you're putting on weight, you're less productive at the gym, you're not sleeping well, you wake up feeling tired, you fall asleep right after dinner, you have that damn brain fog that just doesn't go away, you're sad, you're depressed, that might be signs of low testosterone. It's something that happens naturally as you get older, so it's nothing that you should be blamed for, nothing wrong with it, it just happens. Go to TriStateMensHealth.com right now, take the low T quiz on their website. It's about 10 questions, yes or no answers. It's not too intrusive. Takes about 2 minutes. It'll at least give you an idea of where you may be. Your next step would be to go and head to Tri-State Men's Health. Do a consultation. It's $99. They'll test your testosterone levels, your PSA levels. If you sign up for testosterone that day, your visit is free. And it can really save you and change you like it has me. I have more energy. Even in the summer, I'm super busy running kids back and forth to camps, and their friends are staying over, and I'm taking them to stay over with their friends, and they're swimming, and they're going to Kentucky Kingdom or whatever else. Like, I'm still driving everybody around while watching an 8-month-old baby. All these things help me with the testosterone I get from Tri-State Men's Health. 6 locations: Cincinnati, Dayton, Ohio; 2 locations in Columbus, Ohio; Louisville; and a new office in Northern Kentucky. No need to wait. Call them today, 800-900-9654, or visit them at TriStateMensHealth.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Zach, where are you?
Zach!
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Hey, your play-by-play tonight, Reds versus Pirates, feel the power! 6:40 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7, so we have that going on. Tonight, if you're driving around or laying by the pool or doing something like that, you want a little something to listen to, listen to some Reds play-by-play. How about that? That'll get the party started by the pool for sure. Not my 80s summer rock list that I have. That it's really funny. It's 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. It's the Roundtable. James Strebel, Anna Trillo, James Black producing today's efforts and doing a fantastic job. But it's really funny, Anna, every time we get in the pool. Like, okay, so the kids will go swimming on their own or whatever, yeah, and they're fine. But whenever I get in, I always have the radio
with me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. Is it the one that floats?
Yes, the one that floats, and it flashes lights and stuff. It's really cool at night. But like they're always like, Dad.
It's like a rave. Rave culture.
Yeah, rave culture. It's a rave in the pool.
There's a dude selling drugs in like your driveway.
Everybody has glow sticks in their mouth. It's weird. But anyway, so the pool rave with my Miller Lite.
Yeah.
No psychedelics allowed. No psychedelics. No
in the daytime.
What is it? What's the ecstasy? Yeah, no ecstasy.
Nobody's doing Molly there.
No one's doing Molly. Rolling on Molly. But they're always like, Dad, you always take the playlist. It's always the same thing. I was like, I hit shuffle on it.
Yeah.
It's not the same all the time. It's a different order.
Pardon me for being in charge here.
Pipe down. Sorry you didn't want to hear Bananarama for the 500th time this summer.
What
Sorry.
Is your problem?
Cruel Summer, Bananarama,
Respect
the banger.
Respect your elders.
Respect your elders.
What do they want to listen to? What would they play?
I don't even like Kellen likes 90s rap, which I'm fine with.
Okay.
But I can't really play that in the pool because it's like just dropping F-bombs every five words.
It gets a little bit scary.
And then,
the
edited version. Yeah, get the edited. But that's not as fun. Like, the edited versions piss me off. It's like kids
just
bop.
Just say it.
Like, just stop with kids bop.
Yeah, doing, being funny. There's a kids bop of this NWA song I like.
Do they have? No, kids bop.
I let you hear it like 6 months ago. Remember we laughed?
Oh, that's right. They did. Yes. We played it on air. That and the Outkast Miss Jackson. Always
oh my god,
me.
That little kid in that one.
Yeah, it's like I might as well play those. If I'm playing unedited, I might as well play the kids' bop
might
version.
Might as well listen to Silence.
Yeah, exactly. So they do, but the Wyatt doesn't. I don't know what Wyatt likes. He likes baseball. That's what he likes.
He just likes baseball.
That's all he wants to do is play baseball.
So he'll be down with the Reds.
Yeah, he'll be down. Yeah, but he would probably choose country.
Really?
I'm not playing country.
Now Corey likes country.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's
she
what,
likes country a lot.
Twins. Those are Corey's like people.
They're a little country.
They do a little Louisville sport.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. She's got those two.
She got those two wrapped up. Yeah. I'm working on Reed already.
Yeah, I like it.
We'll watch Ancient Aliens together. Yeah. So it's embedded in his brain.
There's people listening to you, Reed.
Exactly.
So, don't trust the government,
Kellen's
Reed.
Kellen's my Kentucky. He's my Kentucky fan. The Twins are Corey's. I got to get Reed on the conspiracies because Kellen thinks I'm nuts. He'll just because Ellie had one of her little friends over today and they'll to visit and swim in the pool and do all play with slime. I don't know what they're doing. I was in there and I had Ancient Aliens on and it was a commercial for the Skinwalker Ranch show.
Oh.
And she was like, "What's Skinwalker Ranch?" And Kellen's like, "It's crazy. Like, it's not, none of
don't
it's
listen to him.
It's not real. It's not logical that these things, there's no empirical evidence." Like, he uses these big words and all these other things.
Gosh, Kellen.
I'm like, stop hating on your dad, Kellen.
Just respect my opinion.
Exactly. Respect my opinion. So, yeah, that's what's going on.
That's hilarious. She'll probably never be able to come over again. Yeah. She can tell her parents that.
Dad, James is watching Skinwalker Ranch. We were actually matching today. We both had our Kentucky shirts on.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So,
there you go.
I mean, happy. Yeah, yeah. Like, she's like, yes, we met. So I'm like, yes, we do.
That's cute.
All right, so EA Sports. Pissed everybody off today.
Okay.
Because they did the toughest places to play ranking on the game. Because college football 2025 is coming out in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brett McMurphy tweeted out the list. I'm not going to read all top 25. Obviously, Kentucky or Louisville aren't on it. so
Louisville fans.
Yeah, Louisville fans. Why is it L&N Cardinal Stadium on this? Your stadium's only 60% full. Hey! Hey!
Your seats are molding.
We sell out for Notre Dame once every 4 years. Get out of here with that noise. Speaking of, just real quick before I read this list, Louisville basketball Twitter is trying really hard to be cool again, and they tweeted out today. James is already like, oh man, rolling his eyes. They tweeted out today, remember the Michigan game? The game 4 years ago where Michigan came in like ranked number one or number two and Louisville won, and it's like, remember a game 4 years ago, and they're trying to like stop it.
It says a lot I don't remember
like,
that.
No, like, I don't remember
it. If you have to remind us like that,
And that's the highlight. That's the one game.
What have we been up to? Well, 4 years ago, that game?
You should have seen this crowd. It was bananas. But yeah, I saw that. All I said was, it's really funny because I didn't get any pushback from Louisville fans normally. And I wasn't snarky. All I just said was 4 years ago in the retweet. That's it. No one said anything to me. I think they were like, I guess they're kind of like, well, yeah.
I guess it's a fact. I guess it was empirical evidence.
Sometimes you make it more than we do.
I want
to stay on the cookie story, please. Stay on the cookie story.
Hey. Go back to the cookies.
Kroger cookies. That's all
I want. Bro. I just hate glorifying someone like that before it's even, you know what I mean? It's like, hasn't done anything. Like, okay. Like, appreciate the cookies, but let's not trend it on Twitter.
Yeah, let's not. I'm fine. If you walked in there, if I walked in there and I saw,
you don't have to talk about the cookies.
Anna hadn't got to talk about the cookies yet. But Anna, you are a member of the BBN media throng.
Like, used to be.
You were there.
Pressers
every press conference and everything. And could you have imagined today walking in, Anna, and you see a tray of cookies,
right?
And Larry Vaught and our guy John Wong and Drew Franklin and Ben Roberts and Jack Pilgrim, they all sprint to the oh my God! Look! Like, what would you have done?
Would you
have gotten a cookie?
I would. Well, I don't love chocolate chip cookies. I don't know. I think maybe if I took a photo, I would have been really meta about it. Like, LOL, look at the cookies. Like, this is weird and funny.
Not like Mark Pope is Jesus.
Right? Like, can you believe
eat the cookie?
He's eating
be corny.
Like, you're at like a soup kitchen. Like, Mark Pope is feeding us.
Starving journalist.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What just got me that is that I got on Twitter in traffic. Car wasn't moving. And I opened it up and I was scrolling through and it was like cookie picture, cookie, cookie. Cookie. I was like, bro.
Like, stop. Like, we know.
We get it. This is not that cool.
Everybody took pictures of the cookies.
Yeah. It's just like, oh my God, this is the nicest man I've ever encountered in my whole life. And I can't even believe it. Like, I know.
That's all you got to do is just give cookies.
Guarantee it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, let's just. bring it down.
Bring it down a little bit. He hasn't coached a game yet.
Yes.
Let's pull back.
And even if he did, I don't think I still would have been. Even if he wins, goes 40-0 next year, I don't think I'd be like, oh my God, a chocolate chip cookie. It's like, bro, just relax on every detail. But that's the age we're in.
Every detail has to be.
Just let some things up for just, you know, just enjoy them yourself.
It's just the push to just be as, not anti, but opposite Calipari as possible.
For sure. I think that's a lot of it. And the other thing is, like, with, like, media and stuff there, everyone wants to take a picture and be like, look what I saw. I was here when he did this, and I'm a part of it. And
right.
I get it. That's
it's
part
clout.
Of it. Yeah.
It's clout.
Yeah.
Well, if Jack Pilgrim tweeted it out, I need to. And I like Jack Pilgrim. I'm not trying to pick on him. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go from 10 to 1, okay? He's in the top 10 most difficult places to play, again, according to EA Sports, okay? So number 10, Florida. Number 9, Florida State. Number 8, Oklahoma. 7, Wisconsin. 6, Penn State. 5, Georgia. 4, Ohio State. Here's the controversy. 3, LSU. 2, Bama. 1, A&M.
Okay, the A&M thing got me, dude. Get out of here with that. They're too nice to be the number one intimidating. It's supposed to be intimidating, right?
Intimidating and tough place to play. Yeah, toughest places to play.
LSU has got to be number one.
They have to be.
Like,
I've never even been there.
I haven't either, but there's a reason that is top of my bucket list for where I want to go in my life.
Yeah.
Is a night game at Death Valley.
Yeah.
And Max talks about it. It's getting threatened with death in the elevator.
Old men.
By geriatric men.
Yes, told that they hope they die.
They're doing voodoo spells on him in the swamps over there.
Exactly. Like they have a live tiger. They have a live effing tiger in a cage and the visiting team has to walk by, because I asked Max about it. I was like, did you see Mike the tiger? He's like, yeah, it was scary.
They make it because it's like,
rah. It's like 800-pound tiger. Just like, you gotta walk past it. Like, okay, I'm sure A&M's tough to play because it's like a 100,000 person stadium.
Right.
Home of the 12th man, all that stuff. Like, I get it for sure.
Yeah.
But I guarantee if you ask players that play in the SEC, like, what they're gonna put LSU ahead of Bama and A&M.
I know.
Bama's not super intimidating, not that I've seen.
Exactly. I agree. It's intimidating because it's Alabama.
Right.
And their fans are a lot of stuff because they love their team. They're not like scary.
They're not psychotic.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they're not psychotic. Like, and I love that about LSU fans.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm not throwing shade.
That would be like me, like, you know, like I would do the same thing. But LSU's got to be number one. And I have never heard players like come out of like playing at A&M and being like, that was the scariest, toughest environment. I would think Florida should be higher up.
Florida should be higher up for sure. And I think they're getting dinged just because they've been so mid lately.
But that's stupid.
Yeah.
That makes me angry. Like, do your real research.
Yeah.
Y'all should have sent somebody out to these environments doing their research on it, you know?
Right.
I don't know if I agree with all that. Who else was on there that was not on there that I was surprised by? I'm surprised Tennessee wasn't on there.
Tennessee is 13th.
Okay.
Oregon is 11th. Clemson being 12th is actually surprising to
me
too. Because they're nice, but when the game goes on, if we could have Mark Blankenbaker sitting in this third mic, he could tell you all the shenanigans that happen at a Clemson football game.
I believe it.
Like, I figured they'd be higher. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin surprised me a little bit.
I
know they did the jump around stuff.
I think this person is conflating like fun with intimidating. Because the jump around stuff is so cool. Like, the whole stadium shakes and stuff, but I don't think, maybe intimidating. Michigan, was Michigan not on there?
Michigan is 16th.
So if you're giving A&M the nod because there's so many people there, how are you not Michigan? Who wrote this?
EA Sports.
They are not in the game.
They have Mississippi State number 25. They have Arkansas 23. like Arkansas is really tough to like.
Bro, I've never heard that.
No, some of these. I guess I got to put some teams
you
in here.
You have to put LSU number one.
You have
what
to.
What is wrong with
they
you?
They have Texas all the way down at 19. I figured Texas would be higher.
No.
Now, Notre Dame at 21, I get. I've been to a Notre Dame game. Uh-huh. And it is cool.
It's cool.
It is fun.
It's almost like sacred.
But but it's not. The crowd's not. It's not like you're not, like you said, you're not scared in that crowd.
No.
The crowd's not hostile.
Well, but you also have to walk by like a Mary statue. And
yeah, exactly. There's a touchdown, Jesus watching you.
But also, it's like not very comfortable. It just feels like you're in a museum.
No, that's a great way to put it.
The one that I went to, it was crazy. It was like the most overtimes in a game in history at Notre Dame. This was like 2009.
Really? Okay.
And there was so many that the sprinklers came on.
Because they were there so late.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I think I remember either watching like a Sports Center clip or something about that.
So that. So I went with my dad. It was a blast.
I loved it. It was really cool. Like I said, it wasn't like it was the game itself was. You didn't feel the energy of the crowd or whatever, but it was like you said.
You felt the energy of the Lord,
you
baby.
Felt, yeah, the energy of Jesus is
yes,
what you felt. Yeah.
It just feels like you're in a Catholic church.
The school's like a medieval castle.
Yes, for sure.
It feels like you're in medieval times walking around. It's beautiful. Yes. It's the most beautiful campus I've ever seen.
Yes, that was the craziest thing. When I like worked at Georgetown, and I would cover some football, some basketball stuff there. It was crazy to me thinking about the players that went through there. And like the first time I ever got on Georgetown's campus, I felt like I landed on a different planet. Like, I felt like I was at Hogwarts. I felt that I wasn't proper enough.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't even look. I just can't imagine, like, John Thompson, like, getting Allen Iverson there and him being like, what the heck?
What the hell is this?
Yes. What?
Yeah, I've never been to Georgetown's campus.
It's cool, but
I've heard it's really cool.
It's the same kind of, like, maybe even a little, like, more just, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, there's a mystique about it.
Right.
Maybe even more than Notre Dame.
Like, I could see the Notre Dame students going to school, they're like wearing khakis and button-ups.
Yes, very much so. It's the Brooks Brother catalog. Yeah,
exactly, yes.
There's not a Cajun out here trying to kill me with
trying
an
to
alligator.
Murder you, yeah. All right, let's read some text here, and we'll get to our next break. Let's see here. Texter, there's only one SEC stadium that's intimidating Vandy because there are no fans there.
True.
That's true. Those lights may fall on you, too. Texter, as someone who's been everywhere in the SEC, top three would be LSU at night, not day, Auburn and South Carolina. Yeah, South Carolina's on the list.
Oh,
they're 15th. They're 15th.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
They deserve top 10, dude.
Yeah.
And I will defend that because that's what drives me crazy about it, hard getting a great atmosphere at Kroger Field. They've done a lot better recently.
It's better.
But it is a lot better. And that Florida game, oh my gosh, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
The stadium was shaky. But, I mean, South Carolina, they love their football. They show out every day. They're doing the towels. They're doing the, what is it,
Sandstorm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But also, like, it's not like they have some deeper tradition than Kentucky football. They have about the same win
percentage. About the same.
So you can do it, guys.
Yeah.
And they deserve all the credit for that.
Max and Jeffries both say it's their top, one of their top three most difficult places to play.
That should be number like two. I'd be like LSU, yeah. South Carolina.
No,
good
that's a,
call,
that's a good call. Texter, West Virginia is a horrible place to play. I've heard West Virginia's bad. One of his friends played for UofL. He played offensive line at UofL, and he was telling me how they went there on a road trip. It was Bobby Petrino, and they're leaving, and he's like we were scared. Like, we thought that he's like, the police weren't doing anything.
I say this all the time. West Virginia and Louisiana have the same sort of scary
people.
Mysticism to them.
Yeah.
It's like there's, like, in West Virginia, it's mountain. In Louisiana, it's swamps. There's scary, magical.
Voodoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I promise you. Yes. Yeah. I live there. And they all tailgate right in the parking lot, like just like on concrete right outside of the stadium.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, yeah, you're some wild people. And it's, West Virginia games are cool. I really like
them. I bet it's intimidating as hell. Are they on here? Let me see if they're on here.
They better be.
They're not.
Okay.
I'm surprised.
Take this list away.
They're notorious for being intimidating.
Yes,
and a difficult place to play.
A whole bunch of like, yeah, no.
They have nothing else but West Virginia
exactly.
football.
Exactly. And their whole like, mentality is like blue collar.
Yeah.
You got to like.
Coal miners.
But yes, it's all this coal miner mentality. It's like kind of scary. It's kind of cool though.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm surprised West Virginia's on the list. Texter, if you haven't been to A&M, the pageantry is unbelievable. However, a night game at LSU is number 1 through 3. Everybody else starts at number 4. Texter, yeah. Levitard tells a story of how one of those early U teams came out of the locker room at LSU and started trying to play with Mike the Tiger in his cage. They routed LSU. If anyone could do it, it's one of those
Miami.
U90 teams. Yeah,
yes.
One of those U teams in the 90s.
It's probably the only team that's ever come in there and scared LSU fans.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They probably saw them rolling up.
I'm intimidated.
Like Dennis Erickson comes out there and they're like, oh crap, like it's the U. And
they're getting nervous.
Yeah, they got the chains on and they got the Two Live Crew playing. Like, oh crap.
Oh gosh.
I'm going to New Orleans in July.
Have you ever been?
I've never been.
Shreeble, you're going to love it.
I can't wait.
You are going to love it. It's, oh my God, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
That is like definitely a place with a thin veil.
I'm going there for like a teacher's convention.
Okay, get rowdy. Okay,
there,
get a little bit rowdy.
I'll be there like 3 days.
Teacher's convention of the dark arts.
No kids.
Yeah, it won't be. No, there's no kids. But the only
thing is, just all of the culture there. I cannot wait to hear how you like it.
I can't wait. I want to go on like a ghost tour.
Do it.
Yeah.
Go to the voodoo places.
Yeah.
There's stuff. It is one of the, I think West Virginia is too. It's one of those places they call it, it's like a thin veil.
Thin veil.
The veil between.
Yes.
There's a mysticism there.
There's something there.
there, it is just it, like, and the people are just beautiful. Like, anybody you talk to is so, has so much just like character to them. Like,
yeah,
you can't be there and be from there and be boring.
Right,
I love it.
Yeah, if you grew up there and lived there. Texter Ryan Lemon got his jaw broke leaving the South Carolina game last year. Yes, he did. He did. You remember that?
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah, and no one defended him. Texter, the swamp is now a Mars call because Billy Knapps can't beat Stoops. Get it done, Sunbelt Billy. That's Tox, of course. All right, well, last one. There's nothing quite like hearing Joker and the Thief at LNN Stadium strikes fear in opponents. No, because it's empty. All right, let's.
The three people there are very.
I've been there in the stadium when Joker and the Thief play. It is cool. Fine, you all have.
How do you know that
that's,
song?
That's the, it's by a band like called Wolf it, Mother. Yeah, like, if you heard it, you'd be like, oh, I know that song. And it is. It look, it's their thing, and it's kind of cool. Like, I wish Kentucky. Well, they have like Grove Street. Like, they have Grove Street.
Let's respect Waka Flocka.
Well, don't you think it's kind of like past the expiration date?
No,
you don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Negative. Not
all right.
at all.
Okay. It's one of those things. Like, Waka Flocka is even popular anymore.
I got a whole lot of money. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Well,
Colin Baton Rouge is still cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
but you don't like country.
I like that. That's a good
our
song.
Lord and Savior Garth Brooks.
There are some country songs mm-hmm. that I do enjoy. Yeah. I like 70s country. I like Johnny Cash. Okay. I like all the outlaw country
guys. You like
guys.
The really authentic.
Yes. Yeah. And then some of the 90s country is so cheesy it's good.
Yes.
Like Garth Brooks.
It's like a Hallmark movie.
Brooks and Dunn. Yeah. Like Travis Tritt. Yeah. Oh, Neon Moon.
I love Neon
Moon.
That's a great pool song.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fantastic
pool song. Get that going
pool.
On.
Oh,
you are just in
You
heaven.
Better believe it. Neon Moon. Is great.
It's a top hitter.
I've got chills.
I know.
Because of Neon Moon. I love Neon Moon.
The sun goes down.
Yeah. And this poor sap is just drinking by himself at a bar, looking at all the neon signs.
You just feel it like you're there.
He doesn't have a woman in his life.
You just got to pour one out for him.
Exactly.
Poor lonely fictional man.
I'll chug my Busch Light for you,
Brooks. Drinking for my friend in this song.
All right. Let's take a break. On the other end, let me see what I have to discuss. We still have a ton of stuff to discuss here today, and I knew it'd be a day like this. Hits and misses for Calipari, the NBA. Trenton Flowers. People are talking about him in the NBA draft. Will he be drafted? And then later on the show, Anna was smitten last night on Twitter. We've got to talk about that. BJ Heating and Cooling, that's the place to go if you're having any issues with your HVAC system as this summer continues to go along. It is hot, it's sticky, and it's humid out there. I said it yesterday, when it's 95 degrees outside, and your kids come to you and say, Daddy, it's cold in the house. You know your air conditioning system is running exactly the way it should. I have one of those Bryant systems right out on the side of my house. Have had it for about 5 years. Have never had an issue with it. And if I do, I know the good people at BJ Heating and Cooling will come by, fix it for me. They'll 0% financing for 3 years with approved credit. It's a free estimate. They do free second opinions. They just love to work with people. They do a fantastic job. They did the whole system replace for me, and it was great. It's fantastic. So go ahead and give them a call today or go to bjheatcool.com.